Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk. Now, I've got a special guest tonight, Justina Victoria. Now, she has been on the show before, so you will recognise her. She's a psychosexual expert for men and couples. Her work centres around helping men to heal from erectile dysfunction, sexual anxieties, relationship and dating issues, and attachment trauma. She's been doing this work for almost a decade, and her mission is to bring the male suicide rate down through helping men to feel seen, heard and understood. She aims to help men to better understand themselves through proper education that offers real results. Thanks for joining me tonight, Justina. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. I know that you were on before. You were chatting to Niall before the last time, and he did an in-depth interview with you about your work and that. But tonight we're going to actually throw a load of questions at you. So I hope you've had a coffee.
Oh, yes, I have.
Good. All right. Yeah.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, like, because I've literally got so many messages right now, and I've got them all over the place as well. I've got some in WhatsApp. I've got some printed out in my hand. So will I just start?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's go. So our first message comes in, obviously, from a guy. All of these messages are from guys. It says, how do I move on from a childhood crush, even though I've dated since? Not really anything serious, but nothing ever compares to those first memories of falling in love with someone. Even when we were young, it felt real at the time.
Wow, that's a really good question. That's a really interesting question.
It's a really difficult one to start on. So there you go.
I love it. Well, I wouldn't say it's too difficult. I would just say it's a bit unique. And what I would say is being able to identify what you got or what you're still getting from that perceived connection with that person, right? So like, what are the feelings? What are the needs? In what way did you feel seen or met or understood? Or like, what did that relationship give you? And then work on recreating that as an adult.
I like what you said there was a perceived connection, because as well, sometimes what we remember is not exactly how it was. It's his perception of what it was, you know,
yes.
Because it's
our
so
memory
many years
is like
passed.
50%. Our memory is like 50% faulty.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a good one there. Okay, next one. I've been with my girlfriend for 3 years, but our sex life has become routine. How can we bring back the spark?
Oh, this is so cool. I was actually just talking to a client about this tonight. So in the beginning, when you first start dating somebody, you're super focused and really intentional. So like, if you're with somebody the first time, and let's say you're sitting on the couch watching a movie, right? It's like you're hyper aware of your senses and you're super focused on the other person. So like, maybe like you might be touching their hand. And the fact that you're like hyper focusing on touching their hand causes you to feel it more by focusing on it, right? Like you're really paying attention to it. You're kind of, all of your five senses are online. And when you hyper focus on something, you feel it more expansively. And this is what happens when we first start dating somebody, is we don't realize that we're placing a lot of focus on sensation. We're placing a lot of focus on the connection, on the other person. And there's that little bit of uncertainty that's there that kind of drives the feeling and the interaction, the connection a little bit deeper. So the way that you recreate this is by hyper-focusing on sensation with your partner. So instead of just like trying to have sex, what I find is like a lot of couples would just, they're just like, let's go kinkier. Let's go more explorative with our sexuality. And I just think like, it doesn't really need to be that like blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
You can actually go backwards and go way back to basics and go like, what does it feel like to just like rub the top of my partner's hands, like feel their fingers and like rub that so lightly and so gently and hyper focus on that? Like, what does that feel like? And what does that do to my partner? And notice like the turn on from that, and then go from there. Like, what does it feel like to be laying with my partner and having their arms around me? Like just being so focused on the sensory information coming in and relishing in that, like really almost like taking your full consciousness and dropping as deeply as you possibly can into that. It makes everything so fun and so juicy and so expansive that you don't have to be going out and buying all these toys and going to the next level of kink and all this other stuff. So
it's really just go back to basics.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and be intentional
simple.
and be focused on
Yeah.
what feels good. Yeah.
Yeah, and very simple. I've had a text in and he said, I'm a 65-year-old man living alone after 40 years of marriage. I'm 65 now and I wonder, it's a bit explicit, but he's just saying he's wondering how to go about getting with women in their 60s and 70s because obviously it's been a long time.
Okay, so what I'm gathering is that he hasn't dated yet.
It would
after
40 yeah,
years.
I think so.
Yeah. So this is another thing that I deal with a lot with my clients is people who come to me after a long period of time of not dating, whether that's 20, 30, 40, or even 40 years, like in this case.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is see it like climbing a ladder. So you wouldn't, after 40 years and not feeling like you have a lot of confidence in the dating arena, you wouldn't want to go like after your dream woman, let's say, because that would feel too intense. It would feel like there's a lot on the line. You could be rejected and it would not feel very good, right? So you want to start at the bottom rung of that ladder. And what I tell my clients is start by asking women out that you don't feel that attracted to.
Okay.
Like maybe you feel more of like kind of a friendship with them or like just something that you have in common with them, but it's not like this big important thing that like if you get rejected, you're just going to like hate yourself afterwards. So
yeah.
You start at the bottom rung. You just go after like women who it feels like, yeah, it wouldn't stress me out that much to ask them for a coffee.
Yeah, I was going to say, and do
and then,
something simple like go for a coffee. I would also, if you haven't dated in like 40 years, so obviously the last time maybe you dated, you're used to dating women in their 20s or 30s. And now here you are and you're looking to date women in their 60s or 70s. And it's like, whoa, they're completely different people to who I'm used to dating. So it must be a big, massive change. So start simple and go for, you know, just a normal person and ask them if they'd like to get a coffee. Start from there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I would even stretch a little bit and say, as you move up the rungs of the ladder, you could actually go a little bit younger because of the way that our, you know, the differences in our brains for men and women, it's much better for a younger woman to date an older man. And
okay.
That's because men's brains mature a little bit slower than ours do. So there's always a little bit of an age gap between us. So the science behind it is that typically 4 to 10 years of an age gap between men and women produces the most fulfilling results
okay.
in relationships.
Okay, so he could
so
even after a while up, go younger.
Yes. Exactly. So as he's going up, like go with who you feel really comfortable with, who you feel like you're not going to get a no from. Start there. Just like go out for a cup of coffee, have a few conversations. And when that starts feeling normal and natural, then go move up to the next rung. Like go up like women that you find a little bit more attractive or it feels a little bit more nerve wracking to ask out, then just keep going up from there.
Okay, so a ladder. It's the ladder. Okay. I've got another one in here.
Mm-hmm.
I get really anxious before sex and it affects my performance. How do I overcome this?
Okay, so this is what I do all day, every day at work.
Okay.
So I wouldn't be able to explain that in like a 30-second answer. But essentially what happens is that the nervous system gets confused and it starts tagging sex as a threat. And the nervous system, very simply, is always tagging everything in our environment as either safe or threatening. And if something is threatening, if the nervous system kind of gets a mixed message or like an incorrect input about something and it starts tagging it as a threat, then the body goes into a stress response. And what happens during a stress response is that blood that it typically goes to your digestive system, your immune system, and your reproductive system get pushed into your arms and legs to prepare you to run and fight. So when guys start seeing sex as something stressful and they have a stress response, their reproductive function shuts down, which then causes them even more stress because now they're like, oh no, I'm not getting hard. Like what's happening here? I'm freaking out. What if I can't perform? What if I can't make her happy?
Uh-huh.
And so the goal is if you're going to overcome performance anxiety, very simply is to understand that you're having a stress response and then teach the body to stop relating to sex as stress, as a threat.
Okay. And what would be the best way to do that?
Again, it's a much longer answer.
Yeah, yeah. No, I understand. I understand. But what would be the best way then to sort of rewire your brain around that?
God, it's a really long answer, but to try to keep it very short, it would be you have to put a trigger with something that feels safe. So for example, when we feel safe, all of the muscles in our body are relaxed. So if there was something that caused you stress, if you put yourself in that stressful situation and you relax all the muscles in your body over and over and over and over again as a practice, the nervous system would start to relate to that thing that was originally stressful as something that is safe. Okay. So that's something that you can do in performance anxiety, is to continually relax your body over and over when you go into a sexual situation, slow your breathing down, and focus on what feels good instead of what you need to accomplish and how you're going to be successful or not.
Great. Okay, that's really good advice. Okay, another one here. My wife and I have mismatched libidos. I reckon you get this quite often, Justina. She's rarely in the mood and I'm always frustrated. What should I do?
So when I'm working with a couple like this, the goal is to speak about your needs, to communicate about your needs, because if you are in a long-term relationship, it is the responsibility of both partners to meet each other's needs. And so you as a woman, right, may not be that in the mood for sex, but to understand that that is what your partner needs in order to feel happy and fulfilled in the relationship is a responsibility for us. And so we have to come to a compromise. We have to understand, like, oh, my partner needs this to be happy in this relationship. So how can we compromise? Like, I don't really feel sexual anymore. Like, maybe I'm at a point in my life where I just don't feel like having sex. He wants to have sex really, like, all the time. Yeah. How can we compromise? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, maybe we can have sex once a week or twice a week or once every other week or whatever it is, and come to a compromise. And when we come to that compromise, the partner who is, you know, doing this, meeting the need for the other person, they have to be really enthusiastic about it. Now, vice versa, let's say he's the one with the higher libido and she's meeting him where he needs to be met. He also needs to meet her where she needs to be met in other areas of life. So she may really rely on him to, like, fix something that's broken in the house or go pick something up from the store or buy her flowers for Valentine's Day. And he needs to do that enthusiastically in order to meet her needs for connection and to feel cherished as a woman. And the better you get at communicating your needs with one another very specifically, very directly, and, like, being so, like, most people say, like, oh, I need to be loved more, I need to be heard more, or whatever. You got to be very specific. This is the exact thing that I need from you. And when you get good at doing that, man, like, things just get better and better. Like, the relationship just becomes a honeymoon all the time.
And I just want to ask you, just in relation to dealing with couples, I know that you mainly deal with men, but you do deal with couples as well. Is communication the thing that comes up over and over again when it comes to couples having issues like this?
Yeah, communication for sure. It's more like, it depends, because some couples, it's like a person, it kind of comes before communication, because, like, a person needs to be able to identify what they need.
True. Yeah, because some people don't even know.
And a lot of people are poor at that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And a lot of men don't know, because they their needs are not very emphasized in our society, our culture, right? It's kind of like, oh, men are this sort of, like, primal species, like, eat, have sex, sleep, yeah. work. And they have much more complex needs and desires that a lot of them don't realize. So yeah, so a lot of the work isn't even just, like, how to talk to each other. It's really about, like, hey, let's figure out what you actually need and want, and why you need and want those things, and start to validate. Because it's like, it's one thing to identify it, it's another thing to feel that that is valid in order to be able to communicate it. Because you can't communicate something that you don't feel confident about, that you don't even feel like you deserve, or that you believe you should get or need. You have to actually be okay with that before you can confidently say, hey, here's what I need from you.
Wow. Okay. And just something you said there is recognizing what it is that you need, because whereas a woman can say, oh, I need you to love me more. And it's like, well, how do I do that? And like you said, it's like, oh, well, yes, maybe it's just by washing the dishes or doing some of the things that, because I do think definitely women take on more of a load when it comes to the home and stuff like that. And maybe that's why they're burnt out. And maybe that's why their libido is lower, because, you know, they're taking on so much and they're thinking about everything that's going on all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that's a huge one. That's one I work with. I do have some female clients. It's one I work with a lot. And the thing is that because our brains are so different, men are what's called single focused. So they go through life focusing on one thing at a time.
Wow.
Whereas we women, we have a I know, right? We have a diffuse focus. So we might be like on the computer and notice that there's a sock on the floor that's bothering us. And we have to remember what we're making for dinner and the grocery list. And, oh, I need to call that person back. And like, we're thinking about a lot of things at once, because that is the effect that estrogen has on our brain.
Okay.
And so when a man is not like thinking the same way as us, we start to feel like we're not prioritized, we're not cared for, we're not loved. But actually men just literally can't do that. Mm-hmm. So we have to be super clear and specific, like, hey, if you can take the trash out today, it would make me feel so loved. It would make me feel cherished. It would make me feel like you have my back, like you are my person. And you're like, explain to them the point, because they don't understand the point. They don't go like, oh, I get it. The trash is bothering you. Like, it's in the other room. You know, it's full and it's bothering you, because they don't have that experience.
Wow. That is so, eye-opening.
Yeah.
Really is.
Yeah.
Justina, give me 2 seconds. I'm going to have to go to the ads really quickly, but I'll be back with you straight after the break.
Sure.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with myself, AJ Walsh. And my guest tonight is Justina Victoria, who is a psychosexual expert for men and couples. And she is answering your questions that you've been firing in at us all evening. I'm going to move on to the next one. Thanks for holding on, Justina, while we went to the ads as well. I felt really rude doing that. So my next one here. I feel like my girlfriend doesn't respect me and I don't know how to assert myself without causing a fight.
Oh, such a good one.
Here we go.
Yeah. So this is super important, because this goes back to what we were talking about just before the break of the differences between men and women. So women need to feel love. Men need to feel respected.
Okay.
That's how they receive love. So this is super important. And so many women are so used to emasculating men and their partners. And we do this in like a variety of ways. Like, we don't trust them to take care of business, right? Like, we ask them to do stuff and we're not patient enough to allow them to take care of it. Rolling our eyes or degrading them in certain ways, like just acting like they're kind of stupid, because men's brains do process information slower than ours as women. Again, we focus on lots of different things. We can, you know, if you're at the airport looking at the board, we as women will find our flight like 10 times faster than
a guy.
Yeah,
I noticed this for
flight.
Sure. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's just how we are. It's just how our brains function. And so, like, we as women, we have to slow down and realize, like, there's just a difference. Not one is better than the other. And that it's so important for us to understand that men receive love by being respected. So how do you get your girlfriend to respect you? Well, comes back to this idea of talking about what we need, saying to her, hey, you know, for me to feel loved, for me to feel fulfilled in this relationship, I need to feel respect. And the way I experience respect is giving a very specific example. So like, sometimes when I'm talking to a client, I'll say to them, then they might bring this up. They might say like, I need more respect, or I need more whatever, right? And I say to them, okay, well, if your partner asked you for that, what would you do? And they start firing off a list of things that they would try, right? And I'm like, but let's say you only experience respect when, I don't know, your partner thanks you for, you know, doing something around the house,
uh-huh,
or taking care of dinner plans or whatever it is, right? And that's not something they listed. They're like, well, yeah, I would miss the mark totally.
Yeah,
and that's
sure.
The problem is, we as people, not even as men and women, but people, we are all autonomous. We all receive love in different ways based on what was modeled to us growing up. And so if we can't tell our partner explicitly, specifically, like, what makes me feel respected and why that's so important for me to feel that in this relationship, then we're not going to get it. And of course, you need to have a partner who's understanding. And you may have a partner who is understanding, totally committed, and not realizing that she is emasculating and disrespecting you.
Okay.
So we got to get to the core of that and say, look, here's what I need from you. Very specifically, these are the things that make me feel really respected. And you have to follow through, because you know what? You might have a partner who's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I definitely want to do that. But they will go back to their old pattern because it's what's familiar and they don't realize it. So you have to follow through. People aren't perfect. So if she misses the mark, you got to come back and say, oh, hey, I just want to remind you, I need this thing from you. She goes, oh, yeah, okay, I'm so sorry, I forgot.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Give people a chance.
Yep, yeah, that makes perfect sense. I've got a one here. My girlfriend wants to try new things in bed, but I feel uncomfortable. How do I handle this without killing the mood?
Yeah, I would say this is another one where we need to use the ladder, right? So it's we'll find out very specifically what it is that she wants to experience in bed. And like, what is having a new experience give to her? Like, what is the feeling that she's going after? And what are the things that she believes will stimulate that feeling for her? And can we dumb that all the way down? Like, what would be the first rung of the ladder for that?
So they
and
could
at that first rung of the ladder.
Sorry, I was just going to say, so they could try, you know, things that weren't quite as extravagant as what she's suggesting to start with, maybe, and then move on from there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, or break it all the way down. So like, let's say she wanted to do something like BDSM or something, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what if we just start with like little fluffy handcuffs and you handcuff one arm to the bed and then that's it and just see how it goes. You know, so it's like dumb it way down, like bring it all the way to like the bottom rung and then just try to like relax and really give in to that experience and see how it feels. And if you still feel uncomfortable, then it may just be a mismatch. It may just not be the right thing for you.
Yeah, because everybody is different at the end of the day. And I suppose it's difficult to know how compatible you are with somebody in that respect, you know, when you haven't discussed it before or it hasn't come up. And, you know, so it is just all about, I suppose, being open about communication. I was going to ask you, because I know that you do have clients in Ireland, but you also have clients, is it in America as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you find that there is a big difference between your clients in Ireland again versus your clients in the States? Do they have different issues generally?
No, they have the same issues. The only thing is that American men are just a little bit less repressed than Irishmen.
Okay.
So Irishmen will typically they just take a little longer to like warm up to talking about their deepest, most intimate things with a person. Whereas Americans might send me a, you know, 2-page email about what's going on with them. Like an American or an Irish guy might reach out and just be kind of like, hi, like what are you?
Oh, I get
what
you.
Is this?
Okay. And do a lot of Irish men reach out to you? Because I'm actually surprised that Irish men do reach out to you.
Yeah. My clientele is usually about 50% Irishmen.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. Maybe they're not as repressed anymore, you know, because if they're actually reaching out in the first place.
Well, here's the thing is that men are taught that their worth and value come from their ability to perform sexually. And so the sex, when a guy is having issues or problems when it comes to their sexuality or even their relationships, it's usually the one thing that is painful enough or scary enough for them that they will seek help.
Okay.
And sometimes it's not even that they're seeking it, like they're looking for somebody, but they might see me on Instagram and go, oh my God, I think this person could help me. I didn't even know there was a person that could help me with this.
Okay. And so I will ask you to remind us at the end of the show, but if people do want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, just on Instagram, it's the.justina.victoria or my website, justinavictoria.com.
Okay, I'll get you to remind us again at the end of the show. Okay, I've got something else here. Now, this is something that comes up time and time again. Whenever we do something like this, I've been cheated on in the past and now I struggle with trust. How do I stop sabotaging my relationships?
Oh, love this question. Okay, so first things first is, with cheating, there's a couple of different angles that we look at this from. Like if you're a man, we want to look at, is there something that you are doing that is causing that to happen within your relationships? Okay. Typically what happens is that if you are with a partner who can't identify and communicate their needs well to you, and you can't meet their needs well, they will typically go behind your back and try to figure out how to get those needs met in other ways. Okay, that's the first piece. Second piece is, a lot of the time it comes down to vetting. So people don't really know how to ask the right questions when they meet somebody in order to figure out whether or not they would be a healthy partner for them.
So what sort of questions should they be asking?
So when you, like, my clients get so uncomfortable with this in the beginning, and then after they start, they're like, this is the best thing ever. So typically when you meet, so let's say you match with somebody on a dating app as a man or as a woman, but let's say we're talking about a man. So he matches with somebody on a dating app. The first message that I have my client send is a little bit about him, a little bit about what he does, and a little bit about what he is looking for, being very specific about the qualities in a woman that he's looking for, the lifestyle that he wants to live, and being very specific in order to get people to reject you. When people are dating, they're typically like, hey, what are you looking for? Oh, relationship. Oh, something casual. Like, nobody knows what the hell they're doing or what they're looking for, right? So I have my clients get super specific about the vision they have for their relationship that they're trying to create. When they match with somebody, they send off this long message. And that's meant to get rid of people that are not a match. So that's the first vetting. That's like the first net that people have to get through, the first filter that that you set. So if somebody gets to that filter, they say like, wow, you know what? That's exactly what I'm looking for. This really resonates. They say, okay, cool. Let's get to know each other a little bit. Then we go to like the second filter of dating. And that's where we start asking a lot of questions like, how do you deal with conflict? What are some of your biggest triggers in your previous relationships? What are some of your biggest needs in a relationship, right? So now we can start to see, am I capable of meeting this person where they need to be met? You know, are they healthy in relationships, right? Why did your last relationship end? How long has it been since you've been with somebody? You know, what kind of work have you done on yourself? And to like really start rooting out some of these deeper things and doing this from the start. Not like, oh, date 10, we're starting to get to know each other. It's like, no, you want to ask these questions before you even take a woman out on a date. Why
so you want to be confident before you've even had the date. Yeah. And then hopefully then you won't be then sabotaging the relationship. You won't feel unconfident. You won't feel like you can't trust this person because you're building it on more of a good basis.
Yeah. And asking them straight up about cheating. Have you ever cheated on somebody? Have you ever been cheated on? What's the deal with that, right? Like, and the second somebody says like, oh yeah, I cheated on somebody or whatever, like, man, they've just been vetted out.
Yeah.
Now, because you might have somebody who says, oh God, I cheated on somebody when I was 14 or 15 and I never did it again. It's so awful. That's a little bit of a different story, but.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was going to say, if you are somebody that's been cheated on and that's going to be a massive, massive issue for you, a massive trigger for you and a cause for you to sabotage relationships, perhaps it's better to get with somebody that has never cheated on somebody. I know people have cheated on people before and they regret it and they would never do it again. But maybe they're not the right person to be with somebody who has been hurt like that before.
Exactly. Okay. And that's the point of the vetting.
Yeah.
And to actually ask people like, here's what I'm looking for. I want to be in a conscious relationship. And what that means is transparency, trust, like, and like as a woman, right? You would be like, I want to get married in the next 2 years. How do you feel about that? Being very open and honest about what you want. Because most people are trying to pretend like they don't really want a lot of stuff because they're afraid they're going to scare somebody off. Scare the person off. If you're going to scare them off, that's a good thing.
That's what you want to
that
do.
That means that they were never a match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes perfect sense. I've got another one here. I can't last long in bed and it's affecting my confidence. Are there ways to improve my stamina?
Oh, yes. There are ways to improve your stamina. It depends on why that's happening. Because if it's happening because of a stress response, then we would need to work on bringing that stress response down in a very similar way that I was talking about with the performance anxiety question.
Uh-huh.
But let's say you're just a person who just cannot last very long and there's not necessarily like a stress response going on, then what you can do is you can actually you can build your tolerance by self-pleasuring. So if you, let's say, set a 5-minute timer and you were to sit down and self-pleasure for 5 minutes, And what you would want to do is actually focus on other parts of the body that feel good versus the sensation that you are experiencing. The problem with premature ejaculation is that they tend to focus too much on the sensation that feels good, and then they cannot like keep going. It just happens too quickly for them. So what I do with my clients is I have them self-pleasure for 5 minutes and slow down and try to keep it to where like they don't finish, and they focus on other areas of the body where they're not experiencing as much sensation. Now, their focus will continue to be drawn towards the strong feeling of sensation, but we want to keep teaching the body over and over again that we're shifting away from that. And this is how we kind of desensitize, because they're hypersensitive. We want to bring some of that sensitivity down. And then it's the opposite for people who literally can't finish, is like we want to hyper-focus on sensations of pleasure in order to balance that out.
Okay. All right. Okay, I've got one last question here. It says I have, oh no, that's actually really similar to the other one. It's I have a high sex drive, but my partner isn't interested. That's very similar to the other one. Maybe you could answer that one as well. I have a high sex drive and my partner isn't interested.
Yeah, and it, again, it just comes down to like, if you're in a relationship, it's just your responsibility to be meeting your partner's needs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that you have to like have sex all day, every day, but it's to like really honor that this is something that your partner needs in order to be happy and thrive in the relationship. And if you're not interested or willing to do that, then you should let that person go find somebody who is.
Yeah, because you have to match in all areas, you know, really, when you're in a relationship. Sorry, one more here. I watch too much porn and I think it's affecting my sex life. How do I reset my mind?
Yeah, this is another big topic. So
yeah.
One of the ways that you can sort of, well, there's a few different ways that you can reset. First of all, you want to just stop watching porn for a while.
Sure.
Now,
yeah.
I'm not somebody who tells my clients to never watch porn ever again. I don't think that's a problem. I think it's just about the frequency, right? If you're watching it all the time, it can be very difficult. So again, this is kind of similar to what I was saying before about the premature ejaculation, is like, we want to actually just take the porn away and we want to focus on sensation.
Uh-huh.
So self-pleasuring for a while and like putting on some music that feels really pleasurable to you, or lighting a candle, like you want to involve your senses. So anything that you can do in your five senses that is typically pleasurable to you, while also self-pleasuring and focusing on sensation and coming back to it over and over again and relaxing the body, is going to retrain and rewire the nervous system for sensitivity, for like relaxation during sex. So like the system kind of like the gear shifts down, and that you can be fully in your body, fully present. So like when you're watching porn, we go up into the head, and that's a problem because it can start to desensitize you. And so the more desensitized you are, the more intense stimulation you need and the more porn that you need, right? So we want to come back to basics. We want to remove the porn for a while, get into the body, feel sensation, pair it with other things in your five senses that feel good, and then practice that for a while and keep relaxing the body while doing that, so we can teach the nervous system that this is something that's good, that we want to reinforce.
Okay, thank you so much for that, Justina. Thank you so much for answering all those questions. There was quite a lot to get through. Can you remind everybody again how they can get in touch with you if they want to come to you for some further help?
Yeah, sure. So on Instagram, it's the.justina.victoria. And then my website is justinavictoria.com.
That's great. And you're in Ireland at the moment, which was great to catch you while you're over here.
I am. Yep. I'm here pretty much full time now. So.
Oh, amazing. That's great. So guys, do get in touch if you need any help with any of your relationship, sexual issues, past trauma, anxiety, anything like that. Do get in touch with Justina. Justina, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.